My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Afrotech Executive Seattle, March 2023. Jessica O. Matthews, CEO and founder of Uncharted, stopped by the conference to discuss how we can have a sustainable future and harness the power of AI. She's on the stage speaking with Johnny Bradley, who is the responsible AI official for the Department of Energy and senior program manager for the Artificial Intelligence and Technology Office.
Hello, everyone. How are you? Yeah, clap it up. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so let's get into it, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you know I love soccer, and you made soccer, so I just have to start this conversation off by asking one question. Why did you go from hardware to data solutions?
Ooh. So we have to go real deep into like the technical stuff. But first, hi everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you, Will. Will's dope. Just consistent ass dude, man. How much cursing is allowed?
Right.
That's always what I like to check. I tend to check after my first one falls out. Listen, y'all. I flew here from Harlem. And I was out here like, where does Morgan have me flying to now? That's what I thought was on that plane. I was like, oh, damn, Seattle. Okay. And I was walking down the street, and I was like, where are all the black people?
Right.
And right. Then, but they ain't here. Hello. Hello. Done gather them up. No. So say, you know, it's a good question. So what Joni's talk about here is that I started my career making energy generating play products. And so when I was 19 years old, I invented an energy generating soccer ball that could harness the energy from play, the kinetic energy, and store that power inside of the ball. Yeah, it was pretty cool. You could play with it. You could roll, you know, as it rolled, it was generating energy. And about an hour of play would give you 3 hours of light. Fast forward now, I'm 35. I don't have a problem saying it because, like, you know, me black, right? So I look good. I look good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I run a data infrastructure company that uses AI to help disadvantaged communities develop sustainable infrastructure with more equity and efficiency than ever before. Right. So how did I get from there to here? Well, one thing is that my true north was always incredibly clear to me. I'm a dual citizen of Nigeria and the United States. Always, even in Seattle. Where I'm being so messed up. Y'all, just yeah. The only thing I know about Seattle is Nirvana. Like, so I like, and I love Nirvana, so I was like, should I wear my flannel? My mom was like, Ose, flannel. Okay. So for me, you know, 100%, it was going back and forth between Nigeria and the United States, whether it was for weddings or funerals, and just recognizing that there were some things that were so dope, like everybody had a mobile phone. It became ubiquitous very quickly. Oftentimes, my cousins had a better cell phone than I did. But also wondering, like, why is it that it doesn't matter if we're in the village or if we're in, like, the bustling city of Lagos that we're losing power every single day? And I knew it wasn't because, like, there weren't the technologies that needed to exist to make that happen. I knew it was an infrastructural issue immediately. In fact, oftentimes in places like Nigeria, people are paying more per kilowatt hour than we pay here in the United States. I don't know if that's true anymore because, like, I was just, but the bill's getting high. Energy bill's getting high. But at least before, it was very much like that. And, you know, I believe that the first step in innovation is the articulation of the problem. And at the age of 17, 18, I articulated the problem to be that people like my cousins, who were trained engineers, did not believe that there could be a world where things could be different. They did not believe that this problem could be solved by some innovation or some public-private partnership. They simply thought that the best way to solve the problem was to pretend like it's not happening and to get used to it. Right. And so I wanted to create something that would make them change that view, that would make them see the world not just as it is, but as it could be. And soccer is the most popular sport around the world.
Yes, my favorite sport.
The most popular sport.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you're probably really good. My cousins were not that good.
Oh, no, I was bad.
See, there you go. That's what I love.
I was the only female on my team. We went to the championship. That's right. I was good. Yeah, I was real good.
So,
yeah.
Also, you were so good that you were bad.
I was bad.
See, well, now my cousins were so average that they were like, why are we playing this game? This is awkward.
No. No.
So, but in that way, though, seeing their passion and seeing the way that they would play on the field, I'm like, yo, the way that you approach this game, knowing damn well that you are at best average, is the way you need to approach life. It's the way you need to approach all of the problems in our community and infrastructurally. And so my thought was like, let me create something that would inspire them to do it. And what ended up happening was that, long story short, it inspired me to do it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Took a while to figure out exactly what technologies would get there. First, it was the play products and then different inventions. And then a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic, I started to realize that the common thread in every community wasn't needing, like, you know, an energy generating speed bump or some cool thing here or there that was fun but couldn't scale. The common problem was data. It didn't matter if it was in Nigeria or in the U.S. The data problems were kind of compiling on each other.
Right.
And that when governments were operating in the right way, they were spending at least half of their time tracking down, collecting, correcting, and sharing siloed information to make infrastructure decisions. They often did not have the right information to know where to prioritize, who should be getting the solar or where should we be replacing the lead pipes. And then the other half of the time, they were just quote unquote shooting from the hip. And so I was like, well, if we could solve the data problem and improve the way that they're organizing their data to make decisions to build sustainable infrastructure, we can help them build it faster. We can help them build it for less. And then as a result, we can either help them make it more equitable or at least make it very obvious when they're being fucked up. Like, make it more obvious. Like, listen, that's what the data say. If you just want to do that, you can do that, but don't act like the data didn't say that. And so that's how we came up with our current product.
And we thank you. We thank you for that transition there. We honestly do. So we want to talk about demystifying AI. So when we look at AI, I always think about that time, and I don't mind dating myself either, 53.
Listen,
so
girl.
I don't mind.
Listen.
I don't mind that either.
We should just talk about that.
Back in 1970.
AI didn't do this.
This homegrown. So back when I was born, actually, legislation was passed on cigarettes. But as I grew up, you know, cigarettes was just like, ooh, it was a cool thing to do. You had the slim lady smoking the cigarette, right? And it was just like awing to me, right? And for 20 years, I smoked based off of that. But what I will say is this. They demystified those cigarettes.
Did
it was
hear,
not
did you
cool.
Hear all the millennials go, oh my.
Right, and that's great. That's my exact point, is that during my time, it was cool, right? And it was the thing to do. And as time went by, and the Surgeon General said, no, put these warnings on each pack of these cigarettes and let people know exactly what it does to you. And it would curb, and it just like demystified the coolness and the sexiness of cigarettes. So my question is, how do we demystify AI?
Girl, listen.
Oh, yeah.
Listen. Because we had a whole behind the scenes conversation, y'all, that we're trying to like, you know, keep civil for the cameras and all that. So I think that's part of why you guys are here, right? Everyone's talking about AI. Everyone's acting like it's the new hot thing. And they're acting like it's this black box and it's this scary monster that cannot be controlled and things are just happening. But it's really not. You know, like, you should not be afraid of AI. You should be afraid of the people who are building it. That's it. So, like, what it comes down to, let's break this down, right? AI, artificial intelligence, right? And we discuss this. It's kind of like a child. It's a child. It's like a robot baby, right? ChatGPT is at best a sassy seven-year-old. And we all know, right? We all know that seven-year-old that was born in, like, you know, I don't know, whatever 7 years ago was. Like, you know, like, but like basically recently grew up with all the social media platforms and be out here talking to you like they grown. And you'd be like, well, damn, girl, you grown. No, they just online. No, do not have this seven-year-old do your taxes. It might go well sometimes until it does not, right? But what it ultimately then comes down to, you have to ask yourself is, okay, so if this is just this code that has a great capacity to learn, right? And the way it's taught to learn, it's algorithms. Algorithms are just processes. Like, people like to use fancy words to scare us and say, oh, that's a distant thing. But if you have a process for anything, that's an algorithm. That's an algorithm. You can call it that. Especially half y'all women look great in here. I know what you had to do. Whatever you had to do to get here on time, that's a very efficient algorithm. That's a very efficient algorithm. And all it actually comes down to is then how are you teaching that to an artificial intelligence? How are you teaching that to this robot baby? Let's just put it in that way, so that it can start to do that for you. So to that end, when we talk about demystifying it, and we talked about this a lot, you have to wonder who's doing the teaching. You have to wonder who's doing the teaching and how are they framing the way that this child should observe and respond to the world. So if someone is not aware of their biases, if someone is not aware of the fact, like, can you imagine who's the guy who does OpenAI? I'm not trying to start no shit, though, if this is going out to the world. But let's not use him specifically because, you know, but let's... Can you imagine? Can you imagine Elon Musk? Oh, I know, because he likes to put
it.
Can you imagine Elon Musk trying to teach AI how to help me do my hair?
I could imagine.
He thinks he can do it.
I could imagine.
He thinks, mm-hmm. Oh, of course, no problem. Mm-hmm. And that's a fun example.
Right.
Right?
Right.
When we talk about demystifying AI, it's really saying take the blame away from the AI and start focusing on the people who are training these models,
right?
And start focusing on whether or not, whether they are doing so intentionally or unintentionally, if they're actually considering the vast globe of people and all of their problems. Because all AI is really is a tool.
Yep.
It's a tool to help us do more, to help people do more. You need people to train this AI and trust, despite all the things that you're hearing about AI taking jobs, thousands of jobs will be created because of what this AI is doing. The people who used to drive the carriages, when they saw the cars, they were like, I don't know, it's getting pretty scary out here. That car don't even got no horses. They're like, this is just wild. This is crazy. I don't trust this. Okay, sure.
Right.
They found new jobs.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So there, I feel like when people start to say things like, oh, well, be afraid of it. It's going to take your job. What they're really trying to do is make you afraid of going behind the veil and wonder, why can't I be part of the team that's building this AI? Why can't I be part of the crew that's raising this baby? You know, they say it takes a village, not just some dude who doesn't blink in the corner.
Right.
So why are we allowing it?
I love the sassy seven-year-old. So now let's talk about that sassy seven-year-old. All of you know the landscape today, right? You have states that are removing diversity and inclusion. You have states that are removing African studies. You can't say the word gay. And you know, I could go on and on, right? Because I watch the news all day, every day. So, and I don't watch Fox, sorry. But I will say this, is that what do those practitioners look like in the future? Now, this sassy seven-year-old has never had anyone tangling with it that did not have diversity and inclusion, because you have that today, right? You have African American studies today, right? You have gender equality. You have these things today. But as the days go on, these things are being removed slowly. So now you have people that are graduating college that want to be an AI practitioner, but they did not learn what discrimination was because they didn't believe in racism, right? I had someone tell me yesterday when I was eating, she was like, my best friend said that there was no racism. Do I want that person tangling with my sassy seven-year-old AI? And how does that look?
I think you know the answer, right?
I do.
Before I respond, I want to do a quick show of hands. How many of you are here because you're considering how to be more involved in the AI industry?
Okay.
How many of you are here because everyone's been talking about AI, and you're like, what is this? And you're just trying to understand what it actually is.
Nope.
Okay.
No, be proud, put your hand up high.
Okay.
That's right, yeah.
How many of you in some way already work with AI or related to AI? Okay. And so your concern then is really that you feel like there's a lot of things happening around you that you don't understand or don't like or can't control. Okay, so this is what you're getting at. Mm-hmm. Indeed, we have to be concerned in general, and this goes beyond AI, right, that we're going to start to have generations of people who are very much driving our economy, driving industries, developing technologies that will have, from our perspective and our opinion, a skewed view of the world and how things work. And they're not only going to teach their NI, their natural children, that, they're going to teach the AI this. But because of the rapid impact and the rapid scale, it's not as bad as like, oh, those three kids grew up in that racist, sexist house, so now they're racist and sexist. It's that AI was developed by this person who has racist and sexist biases, and because of how impactful AI can be, we now have an army of racist, sexist, or at the very least, incredibly aloof, right? Like, things happening.
Right.
So my perspective is ultimately radical self-reliance. I can't help what's going on specifically macro in Florida and in Texas, but I do know people who live there who are saying, regardless of what they're teaching my kids in school, here's what I'm going to teach you at home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I've been kind of recently saying, please, 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 the last thing you should be is afraid of AI. Mm-hmm. This is now more than ever the time where you need to be incredibly excited about this tool, but you need to see this as a battle, and you need to do everything you can to get your hands on this weapon as well. Yeah. I'm going to keep it super, super real about this. As I said earlier, I'm a 35-year-old woman. I'm married. I love my husband. I'm getting ready. I'm preparing myself to freeze my eggs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it real. Part of me is doing that because I learned that the maternal mortality rate has gotten worse. It's 2023. It is 2023 in a developed country.
Yep.
And you're telling me that over the last couple of years, and it's not just because of COVID, if I get pregnant, I have 12 patents and patents pending. I'm building all these different things. And the thing that scares me the most is having a baby and dying. Mm. But people are developing AI to do the wildest, most random shit possible. But women are dying when they get pregnant because not enough women, and definitely not enough black women, are sitting there saying, how can I use AI as a tool to keep more of us alive?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the only way that's gonna change is if more of us say, we're not afraid of AI. You know what, y'all are gonna do what you wanna do with it, but here's what I'm gonna do with it. Here's how I'm going to teach this child at home regardless of what you're doing. And so that to me is the only answer. It is not too late for us all to recognize that this will not be done for us. This will not be something where we can hope that the right few people at the top are going to be thinking about all the things that we need. We know this, or we would not have systemic issues right now. We know this. So, but what I now view, though, is that I believe that technology is one of the best equalizers, one of the best democratizing tools. And that to me is exciting. That to me is an opportunity. So let's stop talking about being afraid. Let's stop talking about it as a black box. There are several low-code and no-code tools that you can use to create something in AI if you want to. How do we get people to see this as a playground versus, I don't know, a mortuary?
Right.
I'm also literally not kidding. I'm sorry, y'all. My dad literally 2 days ago was like, all my grandkids are in the freezer. I don't know when they're getting out. And I was like, actually, Dad, Tiana, my older sister, Tiana's grandkids are in the freezer. Mine are about to be in the freezer. Just want to confirm. He's like, oh, when are they coming out of the freezer? I'm like, this is what happens when you talk to your mom talks to your dad talks to you. He don't know what's going on. So, but it's real, and it's a real thing. We have a very small group of people right now who are focusing AI on their problems, and I do not blame them. Entrepreneurship is problem solving without regard for resource. Like, science is the study of life. Like, these things should not be scary, big words.
Right.
But when we silo ourselves, and I say we, it's just like, if you are anyone, if you're not affluent, if you are not a man, if you're not, there's so many things that actually, most of us are not that kind of, that paradigm of the person who's doing this. Most of us. But when you kind of like, push something away, you are disenfranchising yourself in so many ways. It goes beyond anything we can imagine. The thing that I'm most scared of is the number of people who keep saying, I'm afraid of what could literally be the best thing they've ever put their hands on in their entire lives.
All right, with that.
Thank you. We are privileged to have 10 more minutes with them to have some Q&A. So I'm sure there's some questions in the audience. Ooh, we got one already. I'm going to come to you. Y'all give another round of applause for that, man. That was fantastic. Please say your name.
Hi. My name is Sydney. Thank you. I got it. No? Okay, all right. I saw, you know, I heard us talking about like fear. I personally don't have fear of AI. Maybe I should, I don't know. But that's not what you're saying, so I shouldn't be afraid. But however, how do we harness, you were sharing some ideas of there's some low or no code ways of leveraging AI. Can you tell us more about like how to like leverage it?
No, of course. That's a really good question. I actually think I'm going to go ahead and maybe I can talk to the Afrotech people. I'm going to just list like on my like LinkedIn just like seven platforms. Some require you to know a little bit. Some of them don't. Now, there is the underlying issue of kind of who's creating even that no-code platform. But at the end of the day, like, you know, nothing's ever going to be perfect. And we just want people to get closer to something. And if your engagement, even with these no-code platforms, can better educate the sassy seven-year-olds that are running it, so now all of a sudden they're not just kind of operating with whatever the hell they're being told by the very specific groups of people who are doing this, it's a good thing. And so there are several. I don't want this necessarily to be an advertisement for any one or the other, but on Monday I'm going to post, if you go to my LinkedIn, I'm just Jessica O. Matthews, you'll see it. I will post 5 to 6 that I've heard some good things about. Because again, I want to be very clear. I study psychology and economics. I like to tell people I have a PhD in Google, which pisses off people with real PhDs, I find. But the main point is that, you know, I also have a granted patent for wireless mesh energy networks, which is an algorithm that essentially considers the communication protocols for decentralized micro energy systems. And I did that with a degree in psychology and economics and a PhD in Google. So what I actually am really trying to say is that you don't have to go to school for this to do this. You do have to have quite a ferocity for self-learning. And I'm afraid to say it, a bit of self-reliance in this. But with the right tools and with that kind of interest in researching as much as you can, you'd be surprised what you can do, especially if you're comfortable with the prototype being very much only a couple percentage points of what you actually want. You talked about the socket earlier. Right. My first prototype for the socket was a Shake to Charge flashlight and a hamster ball. So I will post that on, what's today, Thursday? Got to get back to New York. I'll post it on Monday. I promise, I will.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T. who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Question over here, and I'll come over there.
Yeah, my name is Evan Ponsletz. I'm with the Africatown Community Land Trust, and I just want to let you know that Black people are here in Seattle and mostly concentrated in the Central District of Seattle, so let's all learn a little geography about this.
Okay.
And so from the Central District of Seattle, Ray Charles dropped his first studio album, so it's not just Kurt Cobain. Also, Jimi Hendrix is from there. Shout out to my uncle, who's high school drummer at Garfield High School, if anybody from Garfield. And so what I wanted to say was just that, you know, in addition to radical self-reliance, we also should be organizing around data and around artificial intelligence. So one thing we're doing with Africatown is building programs so that youth can be exposed to these sorts of things. But I was wondering, my question really is, where can we get exposure to the data sets that could help us solve with AI things like infant mortality or pregnant mother mortality in the birthing scenarios? So that, because we work with universities that are studying, you know, data and like things like coming up with language models for African-American vernacular English and things like this. And so right now we're about to start a consortium where we're learning, well, what goals should we have, what problems should we solve, and what strategy should we implement? And so I'm just trying to see, where's our best footing for that in terms of organization?
Joni, I can tell you where my company, like when we really started looking at disadvantaged communities that are Black and Latino majority communities, and how do we get the data to ensure that we're thinking through the equitability of what's happening in this once-in-a-generation moment with our infrastructure and how we started creating actual AI that could support that. But I'd love to know what you think first. I can share our perspective, but as someone who works with the government, you might know a few more.
Eek!
Oh.
So, you know, the government, you know, that's a beast by itself, right? We do have ways of putting out actual where our data is stored, so I will say that, okay? So what my office does, I'm the Artificial Intelligence and Technology Office, right? And what we do is every year we do an AI use case inventory. And actually, we're sitting here, but that's what's going on back at home, is all the labs are putting together an AI use case inventory, which they'll turn into us in mid-April. Once that's turned into us, we will put that inventory up on what's releasable to the public. So let me say that, because we're 17 national laboratories, so that way, you know, everything's not releasable to the public. But what is releasable to the public will go up on our website, right? It's the Artificial Intelligence and Technology Office. You will see the inventory there. If they are listing the code, it will be there. So you could actually read what the name of the use case is. You'll be able to see a description of that use case. If it matches anything that you're trying to do or looking to do, and it says where the code is, that's where the code is at, right? If it's blank and you want us to find out, that's Jason Talley, you want us to find out if that code is available, just send us an email. Our email address is on the website. You send it to us, and we'll get it for you. If it's available, we'll get it for you. So that's from the government perspective.
Which matters, right? Because I think for us, we're often looking at our data sources, one, from actual governmental context. Like, a lot of times people don't realize that almost everything is available to you. You just have to ask for it. They're not going to make it clean and easy or create an interface that makes it as simple as, like, you know, downloading photos from, you know, from your whatever app you're using for that. But you can reach out. The other thing that's been interesting for us over the last 2 years that, to be honest, was a bit surprising was connecting and partnering with journalists. Journalists are surprisingly good at getting real hard data in the aggregate. For example, it was the New York Times that went and actually published with incredible support, when you actually go in and look at what they published and what studies that they were pulling from, the infant mortality rates. And I think some of you may have seen that article. And that's happened before. We actually struggled in looking at a lot of the things related to Justice 40 and disadvantaged communities and this idea of 40% of the infrastructure funds that are actually meant to go to disadvantaged communities across the United States. But we struggled to understand how many of those disadvantaged communities were majority minority, right? Because you can work some things out there, and that wasn't actually available through any government sources. And so there was actually a journalist that had been doing the work for about 5 years that allowed us to actually see every city, township, and village that was Black majority, Latino majority, and Black Latino majority. And the data set was so massive and, again, readily available. And so I think that because if you find truly reputable news organizations that are pushing data, because they are often fearful of publishing a massive story that isn't backed up, they've done their homework, and you can dig there and get their data sets. And when you combine those with government data sets, you can do some things that are very, very cool.
Your name?
Hi, everyone. My name is Asia. First, I want to thank you for being so honest and real and challenging all of us in this room to do more with data and AI. I didn't have a question, but I just wanted to tell you, like, being a Black woman and seeing you dominate this space is just empowering.
Wow. Thank you.
This will be the last one right here. Last one.
Hi, my name is Erica Adams. I'm a grad student at UW, and I am in the information school, and I sit on faculty committee, and we've been talking a lot about student use with ChatGPT. We're already using it, most of us, but there's a lot of ambiguity around, I guess, like cheating and stuff like that. So I'm just curious if you have any advice on persuading older academics on, you know, like coming up with guidelines for use, because I think it's a great tool for us to continue to use, and we shouldn't be using it with fear.
See, I don't even know, when you say older, do you mean people like my age? What? Because it hits you real quick, and all of a sudden you're like, when you go out and you're like, I'm not the youngest person out here no more.
Right.
So persuading, that's a tricky one. That is a tricky one, because there has to be empathy for how long they've existed and known certain things to be true that are now becoming very much untrue. And I think starting from that place of empathy is one. So I think there's a couple of ways to see this, if I'm going to be very just kind of direct about it. One is, you know, I don't know what guidelines are in place right now, but obviously if everyone goes to ChatGPT and says, write me a paper on the World War, and everyone submits a similar paper, the teacher will say, oh, clearly there's some sort of plagiarism, right? Because like whether you did this through something that you Googled or you used ChatGPT, they can tell. If you go to the effort of engaging with that ChatGPT interface such that what you produce, your professor cannot tell, at this point, I don't really know what else to tell you. No, I mean, and it's not about saying, is this cheating or is this not cheating? This is about being realistic about the world that we're in. Like, if you are lazy with this tool, you will be found out to be lazy. If you are innovative and proactive with this tool, you will still rise above. I truly believe that there's always still a way to rise above and still write the best paper with ChatGPT compared to everyone else. And to be honest, if college is meant to prepare you for the real world, acting like these tools don't exist when they do, and I get it. People, we want to make sure you can write a paper. We want to make sure you can do all those things. Yes, yes. Guess what? I also still don't know how to drive stick because I didn't have to. So, you know, we can lament about this world of like, oh, we hope people wish they should. We want to make sure you still have all these different things. Those who care about those skills will get them. My husband said he could drive stick, but then recently, actually, I was like, were you lying? Because this is not, I don't think he's supposed to make those noises. Like, I don't, you know, he's from Mississippi, so so he was telling me a whole other story. Mississippi and Texas. So who knows? But to that end, right, like I think, but he clearly felt that it was important that he said that he could drive stick. I was like, boy, I could barely do automatic at the time, honestly. Like, I cannot wait for driverless cars. So it's one of those things where I would say, so I don't think it's about persuasion. I think it's about recognizing that all the standards will shift, that you cannot rest on your laurels here. Like, everyone keeps saying, I use ChatGPT to create a marketing plan to do this and do that. We will see certain similarities that will negate that work if you do not still put your human intellect on top of it. We're not there. Again, sassy 7-year-old, y'all. We're not there. And don't let anyone make you think that we are. But yeah, so it really sounds to me that, like, if your professors are, like, super not into it, you might be able to save yourself some time and just do what you gotta do. Be like, with the ChatGPT? No. I would never.
Black Tech Green Money is a production of Blavity Afrotech on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. And it's produced by Morgan DeBon and me, Will Lucas, with additional production support by Sarah Ergen and Rose McLucas. Special thank you to Micah Davis and Vanessa Serrano. Learn more about my guests and other tech disruptors and innovators at afrotech.com. Enjoying Black Tech Green Money? Share this with somebody. Go get your money. Peace and love.
It's brand new season 2.
I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf-Vedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards. Like Rob Reilly, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Kerry Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.